From dining to living to wherever, we help give confused rooms new direction. This is the Confused Room Podcast.
That indeed it is. And here we are. Welcome to the Confused Room Podcast. If you like the program, be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on or watching us on. We greatly appreciate it. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again. And how are you this fine Thursday evening?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It was interesting because when we record this show, we do it live on Facebook, and there's a little bit before and after going on Facebook, mm-hmm. where we kind of just chat up behind the scenes before the show, and we realized that our monitor was not in the actual program mode, meaning the feed out to everyone, and we were just talking in the dark for the first 3 minutes. But it wasn't the live show. It wasn't this show, the main show. So
we figured it out.
We got it all figured out today. So our creative juice for this week on the program is Nathaniel Rose Winemaker in Michigan. This is the Chelois. And what's interesting about this one, and if you've seen an earlier episode of the program about a month or two back, we tried some of his other wines. He does a lot of real interesting, not so common varietals of wine.
Yeah.
And really kind of is trying to bring some of them back and make them grow there in Michigan. And it's amazing what he can do out of it, really experimenting with all sorts of different type of wines. He's about 2 miles north of Sutton's Bay, which is north of Traverse City on M22. If you're ever up there on tour, on a vacation, to go and check them out. But what's interesting about the Chelois is that these are grapes. They hang on the vine until they've kind of like partially turned into raisins.
Okay.
And then they are harvested. So that's what really kind of gives it a really rich, mm-hmm. super dark feel to it. I mean, it's not quite, you know, in the world of port or anything, but it's good. So if you're up there, look him up, check him out. Really, really good winemaker. So thank you, Nathaniel Rose, for being our creative juice on this week's episodes of Confused Room. I was saying the old name of the show.
I know.
I'll probably do that for the next 10 episodes at least one point in time. So we're going to be working on a living room here. And let me just bring up the before picture.
Okay.
First, because that'll kind of lead into what I want to talk about. And this is the room. This is a space that needs some help. What exactly is the terminology for the rugs and for the furniture? Not the leather, but more so for like the table or the chairs in this, the very ornate-ish looking furniture.
I'd say it's very, very traditional.
Okay.
And I don't really know. I've never been good with like the names of different styles of mm-hmm. chairs and things like that.
No, I'm more talking about the fabric and the design.
Okay. Can I see it again?
Yes. No, you may not. Tell me what it is now.
Well, it's a classic, you know, Persian rug. Mm-hmm. And I can't really tell what the fabric print is on the chairs, but this is just as traditional as you can possibly go. In fact, the leather recliners are pushing it a little bit into mm-hmm. That's pushing it because they're more of a modern design.
Yeah.
But they're not modern at all.
Yeah. It's like weird 80s choices meets traditional 70s choices that are really probably more 50s choices.
Well, and you know, honestly, I'll say the colors are not that off. This mm-hmm. is probably done in the 90s to early sure. 2000s, but it's a little stuffy. It looks like a room that nobody sits in.
It looks like the room where you go at 3 o'clock to watch Wheel of Fortune and play Scrabble. It's the TV room almost, yeah. But it's in someone's house.
But there's no TV in this room.
No, it looks like there might be a keyboard there where they probably mm-hmm. can play favorite show tunes, or something of that nature. But what I'm wondering about is, I mean, it's a very busy pattern.
It is, yes.
But I mean, it is, you know, it is somewhat, I mean, it is a classic pattern, but what, when you have dated styles like this, mm-hmm. what's a dated style that you still like? And you can be No shame about it. You know, this is not something you have to say, I like it and I'm going to put it in a house no matter what anybody else thinks. It can be like a guilty pleasure type. I really like that look, but there's no way I'm ever going to do that for myself or anyone else because I truly am the only one, if that's what it is.
Can I have a few minutes to think about it?
Can you have a few minutes to think about it?
Yeah.
I would think you'd have it kind of like...
I don't know. I mean, I know that in the future it will be... shiplap, because I will do shiplap long after everybody's forgotten about fixer upper.
Sure.
Because I love the texture that it adds to a wall. Mm-hmm. But I know that, you know, the grandkids will make fun of grandma's shiplap in 40 years.
They'll probably fight over pieces of it someday. They'll be like, oh, they're dead. Let's go take the shiplap wall down and they'll fight over which wall they get. And
I just hope they appreciate that grandma and grandpa put up every single piece of that damn shiplap.
I hope they appreciate the weird messages I wrote on the wall behind the shiplap.
Uh-huh. And Harper, too.
Yeah.
I forgot what Harper put.
Annabelle was here.
No, that's what you put.
Was that what I... What did she put?
Clown sharts.
That's what she put.
Clown sharts.
It's always fun to write creative...
It's built into our fireplace.
Semi-crazy messages on things you put on your walls.
I guess my guilty pleasure, just looking at that, I kind of like rugs like that, but I don't pair it with a lot of pattern throughout the room. That is the pattern. I just go with more solids with
it. Okay. I would say, I don't know if I necessarily like it.
The paneling?
Oh gosh. Okay. No, I do like that. That's
the Burt Reynolds basement paneling.
That, I guess, is a winner. I do enjoy the Burt Reynolds basement paneling. And if allowed to do it, I would have done it in an entire room. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a 70s basement. It's like that 70s show almost.
Just do it. Just do it in your office. You know you want to.
It's no way.
Just do it. Just tack it up. It's lightweight. Won't take long.
I don't think I think I get sick of it really quick, honestly, in an office. It'd have to be like a room I'm not in like all the time.
Yeah.
Like the bar is complete. But I mean, that sort of style, I mean, I did real wood in there, but if had I not done that, I would have considered doing that kind of a feel in there.
Yeah.
I was going to say the 1980s where everything was really like the shiny black.
Oh, the lacquer.
The lacquer. I remember the furniture sets that were like.
You like that?
In the 80s. And actually into the 90s, I remember like going furniture shopping with my parents. I'm like, oh, look at that set. And there'd be like one left from the 80s that just they couldn't sell. And it's just there. And it was, you know, like shiny tile and shiny dresser. And then the backboard had like a gold rim to it, but all of it's black. And I don't know, it's like opal or what is the?
Not opal.
I don't even, it was just like. Yeah, I wouldn't say I like it anymore, but there's the little kid version of me was like, that's awesome. Someday that's going to be my bedroom set, you know? And now I look at it and I go, that's probably like what Biff, it probably is what Biff on Back to the Future had in part two. I think it might have been that sort of a look, but yeah.
Something to strive for.
The funny thing is, you can go into, if you go into like a large enough furniture store today,
you'll find
a set like that. That means somebody is still, there's still enough of a market for them to create that set.
Yeah.
It's like, who is doing this?
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know. Okay. Well, there you go. I had to ask that question. I was really curious about it. Okay. So here's the before. Again, of the living room. It's kind of the dated, very busy Persian rug. The chairs are kind of like, you know, grandma's, great-grandma's, leather kind of attached to recliners. Also kind of dated, kind of poofy. And then this kind of stuff around on the walls.
It just makes me sad because look at all that natural light. Mm-hmm. And you can tell nobody goes in this room. This is for formal only.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we're not doing that anymore.
I love the wind, the picture windows, three giant picture windows really let in a ton of wall. I mean, it's almost like a whole wall of windows is just completely open in this room. What's funny is this is, you're right, it's a formal room, but can you picture people dressed in formal wear in this room? Maybe Easter. A funeral.
Easter. That's where the Easter bunny leaves the baskets on the fireplace.
You think?
Probably.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
A room for the Easter bunny.
Yep.
That's all it is. All right. Well, let's, you want to do your design here first and share how you would change up this space?
Do yours first.
Do mine first?
Yes.
Okay. We'll do mine first.
I was adventuresome on mine, so I want to see yours first.
Okay. Here is what I would do with this space. My goal with this space was to make it feel very warm and casual. To do that, I went with a lot of rich red and brown tones. The star of the room is a reclaimed teak accent plank wall behind the fireplace that I reimagined with some white paint for the fireplace. The white paint is still allowed to come through a lot of the, a lot of the darker tones of the fireplace, the bricks to come through, giving it some depth. For furniture, I went with a pillow-centric cream-colored couch and chairs, a type that when you sit in it, you still want to get out of. I accented with some pillows that were red to retain the tones of the walls. I set everything on a red, cream, and gray patterned area rug. Used reclaimed wood to make the coffee table. Used that same style of wood for the oversized clock behind the couch. Ultimately, everyone will want a TV in there, so I put one up above the fireplace, which seemed to make the most sense. Used a mix of mid-century feeling wall sconces on each side of the TV, mid-century lamps in the room, but tied in some rust charm with the rusty chandelier that hangs over the coffee table. It's a mix of old and new, kind of makes this room a space. It makes you kind of just want to stay in it and hang out. So that would be my space.
I love the mix of old and new. When you put what's expected with what's unexpected, that's probably my style.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think ours are fairly similar. Mm-hmm. But I like that. It's kind of that fusion of stuff. I mean, it's the same way I would describe how I've liked food over the years, too. Mm-hmm. You know, in the early part of the 2000s, fusion was kind of the big thing.
Sure.
And, you know, that's kind of, you know, it's come and gone. Maybe it's there somewhat. But it was like, oh, you can mix this and that, and it works. And all those new kind of styles coming together using old techniques with new ingredients. It's really a lot of this, the design reminds me of that world, of how you can mix these things together and really make something neat.
I really like that this room, we're not about knocking down any walls.
No.
We wanted to maintain that coziness. And I think the red really does bring that in.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I really tried to keep it just warm and just nice, inviting. And mm-hmm. The reds I always have liked. And it's not like an overpowering red. It's almost maroon,
it's
for our listeners.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's a cinnamon red.
I like that.
I do too.
Cinnamon red.
Yeah.
That's a good way of describing it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's fun. There's a lot of modern feels to it. There's a lot of rustic feels to it, but it cohesively goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of it's still somewhat formal. I would say it's more formal feeling, I think, than the other room, but still casual at the same time. More, I don't know, elegant.
It's more approachable.
Yeah.
It's more approachable. Okay. It's modern elegance.
Okay.
Yeah. I like that.
That's my take on the space. Jenny, would you like to share?
I don't have anything scripted, so I'll just, you know.
You just go off the cuff.
I'll fly off the cuff.
I don't have anything scripted either. There's no pieces of paper sitting in front of me that I'm reading from or anything. I discovered after the first week of us doing our rooms and sharing them, you are a heck of a lot better at describing rooms in real time, just kind of off the cuff. And I need something to kind of keep me on track. Otherwise, I go off on little tangents about little things, and the video is like way gone beyond what I'm talking about. And so I have to kind of like just keep it on track. And then when the video is done, then we can chat about things in a little greater detail.
Okay.
So, but you're welcome to make your own scripts too, if you'd like.
I just barely have time to make the pictures. So.
Okay. Well, it's up to you.
Okay.
Okay. Here's Jenny's space in 3, 2, 1.
Okay. So I actually went with a fairly unexpected color that I'm going to guess that we're going to see a lot more of. And it is kind of a purple, but it's not like a, you know, college football team purple. This is more of a sophisticated purple that's more of a plum. And I did an accent wall. I did board and batten along beside the fireplace and above the fireplace, painted in this purple, which brings out the tone in the rug. And I layered it with mirrors and artwork so it doesn't overpower. You don't walk in and just automatically see purple screaming at you. It just kind of is a little bit of a pop of color that ties the room together. The rest of the room has cream walls with kind of a dovetail gray molding color and window trim. And the furniture is all kind of a cream color as well, again, with the same plum kind of purpley colors in the pillows and the accents, making this very easy to change once everybody gets tired of purple. But I thought it was kind of fun and unexpected. The flooring I did change out and made the hardwoods a little bit darker. I guess I wouldn't have changed them, but the original room had hardwoods. I just went with a darker stain that's more classic. And with that darker stain, it can go more modern or more, you know, traditional either way. I went with kind of aged brass accents. So the chandelier is kind of a modern design square chandelier in that brass. And I've used an oversized ottoman as a coffee table between two opposing couches.
I love the oversized ottomans. I think that they are, I mean, just having had one now in, I don't think we even have one anymore.
Not anymore, but I'm wishing.
Yeah, we did have one a while ago. But it's such a nice meet in the middle for a coffee table. You can put your feet up on it. You don't feel weird about it. You can put, you know, if you get like a nice little tray or something, you can put your drinks on it too. And it works so universally well.
Well, and they're larger. So when you have two couches that, you know, face each other, you can get away with having a larger ottoman in the middle so that you're not squeezing these couches uncomfortably close so everybody can reach the coffee table.
Yeah, exactly. And that's another big thing about it. It helps that because so many coffee tables, either you have a round one, which can be big.
But and then, nobody's feet can reach.
Yeah, nobody's feet can reach. The only person who's benefiting is the person sitting in the middle.
Right in the middle. That's right.
Of each, you know, or it can be the nice big square ottoman. And still you can easily get around. And yeah, that really is kind of the way to go when you're in that weird conundrum of, well, what do I put here? Get one of those.
Yeah.
Get one of those. And the thing is, they're, you know, I mean, sometimes, I mean, depending where you're looking, they can be pretty pricey, but at this day and age, there's a gazillion ways and places to buy things for much lower than... We were talking the other week. We go to Pottery Barn to get ideas. We don't buy stuff because it's pricey.
I come home with most of my finds from TJ Maxx or Home Goods.
Yeah.
Just because most of the time it's even TJ Maxx because they're even cheaper than Home Goods, even though it's the same company. Mm-hmm. But I like the hunt, so that's why I like going there.
Mandy says, hey, Tony and Jenny, I remember you talking about how much you like Wayfair. I work at their photo studio. I listen to your ghost podcast at work, and I watch Confused Room at night.
Awesome.
So we have somebody who works on photos for Wayfair that listens to us. Thank you, Mandy.
That's very cool.
We appreciate that. Christopher says, what do you use to render or build these homes? Would love to see them rendered in Unreal Engine 4.
What?
Yeah. That's the engine that actually you see in a lot of the HGTV shows where they have their own set of graphic designers who, once it's designed, can then go back, re-render, and reapply every single filter to everything. And it takes monstrosity of computers to really render it out in any sort of realistic time frame. Sure. I mean, our computers could do it. It would just be a much longer render process to get the whole thing done. This is all of a technical thing, but I'm just answering your question, Austin. We use Home Designer, Chief Architect products to do it. Before we did it, I was looking at everything. I was debating between SketchUp. I was debating between Chief Architect. I was reading what other designers liked and what they used. And I went with this because it seemed to be the most applicable for what we were doing. for getting it done on time, and for what, you know, what we could get onto the show. I do love the renderings that Unreal can do. And I imagine as time goes by, a lot of the other things will catch up with it, but it's just one of those things where it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
And we're doing this show and other shows and another business as well. And if this was all we were doing, I guess, all week, I could spend a day rendering stuff. I have fun doing it, but
it does bother me though when we watch HGTV and I'm like, why don't ours look like that? What am I doing wrong? And then you told me it's not the sketching, it's the way it's rendered.
It's the render, and then you go through After Effects on top of that, and there's so many technical graphic artists end up taking it over at some point on that show to get it done. Here's what will make you feel better. Watch an episode of any show on HGTV from maybe 3 years ago. Our renderings are better.
Yeah.
It's just that's going to end up having, you know, the best at the moment in time. But I'm pretty impressed with what we can render out here now.
I'm pretty impressed we figured the software out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be my answer to that question. Dave says Home Goods rules.
Yes.
Diana says, I used to shop there on my lunch break. I think, Stacy says, I think the software you're using looks great. It's all about the ideas. I agree. And I think sometimes too, like, I like, not necessarily the way this one renders, vector graphics of it, but I agree. Sometimes just to get the point across, looking at just the design.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, when I render things out, I render it in the vector first to make sure my camera angles are where I want them to be, and it renders 10 times faster. And then once that's done, I'm like, oh, I kind of like the vector look of it too. But anyway, that's the behind the scenes.
We've started using it for our own home projects. So I no longer have to say, can't you imagine how this would look with this? And now I can actually literally draw him a picture because I'm not the best at explaining what is going on up here.
I'm not the best at understanding what's going on up there.
Yeah, so the software has helped our marriage. It's been great.
What trend will return that you wish would die forever?
Oh, I was hoping you're gonna say what trend is gonna return that you're excited about.
That's the next show.
Okay.
Actually, it's not, but we can put it on there.
What trend that I wish would die forever?
Yeah.
You know, Carrera marble, honestly, that's going to cause nothing but heartache in the long term because it absorbs anything with color that touches it. You put a candle on it that's colored and kiss it goodbye. And it's very... it's soft as far as stones go. So everybody's like, I've got to have Carrera marble. Well, you know what? You're going to have every little nick and chip and cut. And your best bet if you want that look is to actually get a quartz product. But I wish everybody would kind of get away from that because the light countertops are nobody's friend. Any mom's like, no, the light countertops show everything. You need something that's mid-tone with a pattern so that it hides little, I mean... you can only clean so many times a day, but your kids are going to be in the kitchen constantly. So it doesn't look dirty all the time.
Sure. What trend will return that you wish would die forever? Well, I guess this isn't technically a trend, but it is what existed years ago. And that would be wooden countertops.
Yeah, that's coming back.
Yeah, and that's like way back. It's not like, you know, 60s. It's like turn of the century.
Why do you want it to die? We talked about that in this house.
I like it. I do like it, but I think it's a very difficult thing to keep clean. It's a very, especially, depending on how it's coated. I mean, you could kind of coat it, you know, really super thick, but then at that point, it's not even wood-like anymore.
Right.
But if you're really going for it, this feels like wood, which I think a lot of people want. They're not wanting, you know, enameled wood, you know, like you'd see on a coffee, like a, you know, like it's a tree stump coffee. You know, they super thick in that stuff. When you get it that way, what I think we're going to see a lot of is people thinking, oh, I can just spray that with, you know, Pledge or whatever, or kitchen cleaner, and it will clean it all up. No, that stuff. I mean, that's why you see in bakery shops, they have the baker's knives and they're scraping it to death with bleach after every time they use it to get everything out of the wood so it stays sanitary.
Sure.
It's such an unsanitary product, mm-hmm. unless you, again, coated it mm-hmm. to be almost like glass or something else. I think it's going to be a regrettable thing for a lot of people, and it's a very expensive product right now.
And what people are finding that like that look, the happy medium is to use it on an island that does not have a sink incorporated so that mm-hmm. it's not directly near a water source constantly. It's yeah. still going to be have exposure because kids are going to fill drinks and stuff on there.
Oh, food. I mean, I'm talking sure. like meat.
I know, but that's kind of been the trend is to now just use it on an island mm-hmm. or maybe even like how we did a wooden counter in the pantry. People sure. are looking at doing that so that there's some kind of prep space to get that wood feel, but sure. not have it in the high work zones.
I wouldn't have it any place I'm going to put a cutting board.
Yeah.
That's where you start to run into issues. Mm-hmm. But I love the look of it, but it's one of those things that to me just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it kind of worked out, I guess, because we ended up going with something else. It's weird here. We wanted to do butcher block on mm-hmm. our kitchen
yeah,
when
we
moved in. And
the thing is, I know I could handle it.
Yeah, I know. But what I was going to say is that it ended up being cheaper for us to do granite because
right.
of where we live
yeah.
than to do the butcher block.
Granite was cheaper than wood.
Here it was.
It was. You're right. But there's like granite quarries.
That's what comes out of the ground.
Yeah, within a stone's throw from here. So, yeah. Interesting, interesting stuff. All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of Confused Room. If you're watching us on Facebook Live, hang on. Two more episodes to come as we record this live on Thursday night. But if you're listening to the podcast, thanks for listening. New episode again tomorrow. We're going to be looking at an office space redesign. You ready for that?
I am ready for that.
All right. If you like the show, please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you're listening to us on. Give us some stars. We greatly appreciate that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thank you for listening to another episode of Confused Room.